From WBEZ Chicago, it's This American Life. I'm Ira Glass. This is a special pledge drive edition of our program, which means that all this hour, I'm going to be playing some of our favorite stories we've put on the air recently to perhaps remind you why you should consider supporting this station if you aren't already, help keep it on the air. So we have some really fun, great stories for you today, and let's just get right to it. At the center of this first story are 30 postcards and one of our producers, David Kestenbaum, who was also a scientist. He was a physicist before he took up journalism. Anyway, here's David.
I want to start by saying I am one of those people who has never cared at all about family trees, who is related to whom, genealogy, stuff like that. The only family that felt important growing up were the people I saw every day. My parents and sister, and then kind of one circle out. Grandparents, cousins, the relatives we'd visit with some regularity. Beyond that, they just seemed like people I didn't know. And I think this is the scientist in me. I've always felt like the whole idea of being related by blood, who cares if they have some DNA that I have? It all just seemed kind of dumb. This was a problem when someone would ask me when my family came to the United States. My great-grandparents, I think, from Austria or Poland, some from Russia. At various points, it's felt like a thing I should know, just so I could not look like an idiot when that question came up. So I'd ask my parents, who'd tell me. But there weren't a lot of details. No one felt real in it. And whatever my parents would tell me, I'd promptly forget. Then, a couple summers ago, we were visiting my aunt and uncle. My kids were running around like lunatics. I was sitting on the couch. And my aunt handed me this stack of papers. They were photocopies of 30 postcards. A distant family member had come across them. And they were beautiful. Written in Yiddish, in the Hebrew alphabet, in this meticulous handwriting. I could read who they were addressed to. That was in English. Harry Kestenbaum, 320 Cherry Street, New York, America. Cherry Street is a street I've walked by for sure. It runs under the Manhattan Bridge. The postcards were from his father, Shmuel Mendel Kestenbaum, who was living in a town in Austria-Hungary at the foot of a small mountain. The date on the first postcard? 1904. Shmuel was my great-great-grandfather's brother. There were translations alongside the postcards. A relative had found someone who could read the old Yiddish. So I sat there on the couch and started to read. Again, this wasn't my thing. I honestly didn't expect to get through them. But amazingly, these 30 postcards, they happened to tell a little story with a beginning and an end. You could glimpse a piece of a life through them, of a man living 100 years ago who had my last name. And I know I just said that shouldn't matter. Maybe I'm wrong. They gave me a feeling I was not expecting to have. The postcards are only one side of the conversation, Shmuel writing to his son. But his son, Harry, who was 24 at the beginning, clearly wrote back. You can tell because Shmuel writes things like, "You forgot to put a stamp on your last letter, and I had to pay a fine. Signed, your father, Shmuel." I love that line, because I'm not proud of this, but it reminds me of me. And also, it warms my heart to read a guilt trip on a 100-year-old postcard sent across an ocean. You can only write like that to someone who's family. Blood gives you permission to make certain demands, to be yourself in ways that maybe you shouldn't. It seems possible they wrote back and forth constantly. Quote, "I'm surprised that you have not received my letter. Why don't you write about your business? Mine is completely in ruin, and my income is very bad." Here's what we know about Shmuel when he was writing these. He was divorced, and his two kids he hadn't seen in years. Harry, because he was in America at 320 Cherry Street. His daughter was closer to home in Europe, but would never write him back. Quote, "She really does not behave like a child of mine," Shmuel writes. "For 3 years, I have received from her only printed Happy New Year's cards. When she came to me to invite me to her wedding, I gave her all the money she asked for and went to the wedding. She has not once written about her situation. Since childhood, as you well know, she has become a stranger to me." Shmuel is on a kind of mission in these postcards. He seems dismayed by how scattered the family has become, and he wants to hold everyone together somehow. He writes about being lonely, having no one to have a heart-to-heart talk with. Quote, "Please let me know if you intend to return here with your family, or do you want to take a pleasure trip? I would be very pleased, but the question is if you can do this without any trouble." In the map of our family, Shmuel is pretty far removed. He's like Pluto out there on a distant orbit. But I felt some tug on me. He asks after my great-great-grandfather, who's living nearby in Newark, New Jersey. Quote, please write to me about my brother. How is he? He doesn't write to me at all. How are his children? Are they well? I was struck by how consistently miserable he seems. Miserable, but also like he hasn't given up hope. He yearns for the family, wants to be with them again. I wondered if it would happen. When Harry's first son gets a little older, Shmuel writes, maybe it would be possible for you to send him to me, and I could fulfill the commandment, and teach our children and your son's children, as my son's sons are as my own. Your father, Shmuel. There are all these grandkids being born that he wants to see. When Harry has a daughter, names her after his grandmother, Shmuel writes, my dear son, you have done very well. You have added the name of my dear mother. I have great joy from this. But there is also this heartbreaking one. Quote, at the end of your letter, you didn't send greetings from your son Yitzhak, which worries me very much. Please disclose the truth to me. May we only hear good tidings. Yitzhak had died of pneumonia at age one. There's one postcard where Shmuel seems truly joyful, like he finally had a really good day or something. September 12, 1907. The entire postcard is a blessing that he composed himself in Hebrew. The translator was really struck by the poetry of it. May the rays of your good fortune shine on your head, and may you always be a fulfilled person. Love and peace in your home. All of you healthy and complete. Your tents free of fear. Blessings nested in your house, and success shedding its light around you. But making my way through the stack of postcards, one thing after another seems to go wrong. He eventually does make contact with his daughter, Harry's sister, and visits her. But he still seems worried. Quote, I hope there will be peace for some time. He writes about a fire that cost him a lot of money. A dealer he sends cotton wool to goes bankrupt. Quote, business is very bad, as credit has been stopped and many people have gone bankrupt. Thank God the fear of war has passed. May God bring us better times. That postcard was from May 27th, 1913. When I read it, I was like, wait, what do you mean the fear of war has passed? Isn't World War I about to happen? Here's a postcard from a little later. The stamp had been removed, so some words are missing. But this part was intact. Quote, the Russians plundered. We went on foot. Therefore, we took nothing with us. We were like a herd. We closed the house and left everything. We left all our property. Everything was plundered, and the house was destroyed. May God give us strength and harden our body. Is this our fate? Instead of sleeping in our bed, we slept on the ground. That postcard was sent from a town 60 miles from his home. There's a big gap after this. The next postcards are from years later. He's back in the town where he started. Quote, I received the package you sent. It contained 2 pairs of trousers, 2 pairs of underpants, 4 undershirts, 1 skull cap, 1 napkin. I can't know if anything is missing since I don't have a list of its contents. The Lord will reward you for the mitzvah of honoring our father, and your reward will be great. This is postcard number 27 of 30. There weren't many left. Shmuel writes that he had heard that Harry might make a trip back home. Quote, this would give me much joy, he writes, and also, do you have papers for my journey to America? I was excited that they might all get together, but postcard 29 doesn't mention any travel plans. Quote, it has been 3 months since I have written you. I'm desperate not to have received an answer. This is very unusual. Please write immediately. The last postcard, number 30, is about a prayer shawl. And that's it. Shmuel Mendel Kestenbaum died sometime after that. He was probably 69 or 70 years old. Reading along, I was somehow stupidly expecting a happy ending. But I don't think there was one for him. It doesn't seem like Shmuel ever got to see his son again after he left at the age of 20, or got to meet Harry's kids, his grandchildren. And just that idea that you could spend so much of your life waiting for a thing to happen, and then one day you don't even know it's coming, but it's your last day. And it never does.
I do feel some connection to Shmuel. I'm not sure I really understand it. You could say it's because we're related by blood. It certainly is a strange experience to read your own last name on a 100-year-old postcard. It sticks with you. Shmuel Kestenbaum. I keep thinking about the postcards. In them, Shmuel never writes about the past. He's always asking about the people who will come after him. His son, his daughter, their kids. He cared about the future. I do too. I care more going forward than backward. There is a happy ending to Shmuel's story. It just came much later. It's me and all the family in the giant tree that grew around him.
David Kestenbaum is one of the producers of our show. You know, I love how, through most of that story, how utterly unsentimental that story is about the past. And then there's that whole part at the end about how you can wait your whole life for something and maybe it never comes. And then one day your life is over and you never get it. And just, I don't know, the story is small and personal, but at that point in the story, it just feels so big, you know. And I like how all through the story, you can feel David trying to make sense of what he's reading and feeling as he gets further and further into the postcards. And it, I don't know, it's just the kind of story that is just perfect for radio. And I think what is weird is if you think about all the radio stations that are out there in this country pumping out 24 hours of, you know, talk and music and sports and everything else over the course of the day, just how little there is that uses the medium of radio this way, you know, that just gets inside somebody's experience and feelings this way. Really, if you think about it, the only place that tries to use radio to harness these kinds of feelings is public radio. It's the station that you're listening to right now. And if you want this to continue, please step up, help this radio station stay on the air, because that's our business model. The people who like this stuff, we actually are the ones who pay for it and support it and keep it on the air. It's that simple. It's old school. It's very idealistic. If you like this, stand up for what you believe. Help us keep making it. Here's how to pledge.